As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning, everybody. A happy Friday to you. I'm Kyle Madsen. He's James Hamm. Joe Brazil, not with us today. Joe said to hell with you guys.
Yeah.
Said, I don't want to be here.
Got to go to, like, music in the park or something, right?
Yeah. He's got concerts in the park.
Concert in the park.
But yeah, no Joe today. He's off on assignment with the station doing other stuff because he is one of the hardest working people at this station or at this cluster of stations, and that's why we appreciate him so much. And we appreciate you for hanging out with us today, whether you're on the radio, 1320 AM or 98.5 FM HD2. Good morning. Hello. If you're in YouTube or Twitch or on YouTube or Twitch, YouTube.com/ESPN1320, Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Hello, good morning, we appreciate you, and everybody in the chatty house, hi, we see ya. If you'd like to participate in the program, please jump onto YouTube, jump in the chatty house, YouTube.com/ESPN1320. James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show, that's the podcast, and I'm missing one. Oh, the Odyssey app. Everybody listening on the free Odyssey app, hello, good morning, we appreciate you very much. I want to shout out the Indiana Pacers.
Okay.
We got to talk about the finals, but yesterday was a classic yard work day for your boy. We've torn out part of our front yard. Just the plants had gotten all overgrown, and we just didn't like how it was looking anymore. So we wanted to tear it out. So we tore the plants out a couple nights ago. Yesterday, we started doing a hollow in. We're like, we don't have the facilities to do this. We don't have the capacity or the vehicles we just can't haul all this stuff away. So we hired somebody to do it. They were great, but they didn't show up till like 4 o'clock. So we got to sit around all day hanging out, but the guy shows up at 5, which is right when the basketball game started.
Oh yeah.
My hope was that, hey, we could be mostly done with this because what we're doing is we're tearing everything out down to the dirt. New plants went in, so we had to put the weed carpet down, and then we're going to do like a river of rocks up and then mulch, wood mulch on the sides. They're very basic, very generic, clean look. We like it. But they didn't show up till 5, which still appreciate that they came up to haul our stuff away. They were done by like 5:30.
Okay.
Right when the game started. So we got to go outside and we got to start doing stuff. We got to dig holes. We got to plant plants. Real quick, I did not realize, by the way, I missed this bit of news that rocks are on a Supermax contract. I had no idea rocks were so damn expensive.
Really?
Had no clue.
Like, were you buying bags of rocks?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Well, we were looking to fill this 17-foot by 9-foot space of our yard.
Okay.
And we went, oh, we'll get rocks and we'll just rock it out because there's all these trees in our neighborhood and the leaves die and they go all over our yard and then they just sit there. And we've got dead leaves in our yard. That was part of why. And I can't leaf blow them away because we just had wood mulch.
Okay.
So I went, hey, if we just do rocks, I'll be able to just leaf blow all day. I can just get everything out of here. It'll be great. And we went to go look at the amount of rocks we would need to fill a 17-foot by 9-foot space and realized it was going to cost us like multiple thousands of dollars.
Oh, that's, yeah. So,
no idea rocks had signed the Supermax. Congratulations to rocks.
Were you looking to buy by the bag?
Yeah, a little. Well, we looked at everything.
Okay.
We looked at buying it in bulk. I don't need advice on rock buying. We're not doing it.
Okay.
But we just, everything we're looking at is just way more than we wanted to spend.
Oh, yeah.
So, and we looked at different places and said, to heck with it, we're just going to do this. So anyways, shout out to Rocks on their Supermax deal. So, we got half of it done last night, but I appreciate the Pacers very much because I had the game on And while my wife is over, you know, getting everything ready, I'm like standing there with the game on my phone, like watching it, trying to stay locked in. That game was over at halftime.
Oh, yeah.
It was over probably before halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that the Indiana Pacers, A, continue to make this series interesting, but B, on a night where I had a lot of stuff to do, made it so I didn't have to stay locked in for the second half. Nice and easy. Shout out to the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, I thought look, we had no idea coming into this game what Tyrese Haliburton was going to look like. But I think we can all agree, if there was a perfect outcome for this game, it was that the Pacers jumped ahead early. Tyrese Haliburton had some moments, and then he got to play limited minutes, and you force a game seven and potentially still have him in play for Sunday's game, right? Mm-hmm. That's like the perfect world.
The perfect scenario.
I think we were all praying that the opposite didn't happen, where Indiana gets clubbed, but in the first quarter, Tyrese Haliburton takes a bad step, and his Achilles is gone, and now he's out for a year. And the whole mood in the building is horrible. And so now we get to see this thing play out. And, you know, you get to a game seven, and if I'm Ty, it doesn't matter.
There's no restriction.
I'll go out there with the boot on if that's what I got to wear. But, yeah, you tape that thing up the best you can, and you're going to go out there. And that's not me saying, hey, you really need to do this. That's just the reality of the situation. He is going to be out there playing. But it's fun. Like, this is, you know, good things happen for the Indiana Pacers, and their depth, their offensive depth, just shine through.
Yep. Yeah, man. And Oklahoma City, like, they've been prone to this in the playoffs, where they just have these runs of, like, what are they doing on offense? This is not a good... last night, they were 8 for 30 from 3. It's not only they shoot it poorly from 3, 30 is a lot for them. Is don't get threes up. They don't make them at a very high clip. And if you go through a lull like that against this Indiana team, like, they're going to take advantage. You can get away with that if you're the Thunder against a lesser team. But Indiana has just proven time and time again that if you're not going to score against them, they're going to run it up. They're going to put up points.
Yeah, you're in trouble if you're not scoring at an elite level. And I think the problem that we have now, we're this deep into the finals, is that you're relying on Shea and Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren. Number one, Chet Holmgren has not been good at all. And, like, last night, him, you know, like, early on, getting swatted from three again.
You're 7'9".
Yeah, with, like, 14-foot-long arms.
He just takes forever to shoot it.
Yeah, like, if there were ever, like, a real-life version of, like, the like, wavy thing at the tire store,
yeah,
it's Chet Holmgren.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't understand why it is that he gets blocked.
Mm-hmm.
And it must be that he just takes forever to get a shot off, right?
That's it. It takes a year and a half for that dude to catch and shoot. I don't want to derail this entirely, but if I'm Oklahoma City, I'm looking at trading Chet. Not because I think he's bad, and not because of this series, but just when you try and project out, all right, you're gonna have to pay this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been able to stay super healthy. Are we sure he's ever gonna reach that, like, elite? Because when it was him and Wemby as quote unquote rookies last season, it was like, oh man, they're gonna be locked in battles for years. And you kind of watch Chet over the last couple of seasons, and you go, man, he's got the injury stuff, and he's really good defensively, but in this series in particular, you see the offensive shortcomings. It's like, he's going to be a good player. He's going to be should be in the league for a long time, barring health issues. But man, I think if you trade him now before his value starts to dive, I think you should do it.
No, I'm not ready to go there yet. I mean,
I'm ready.
We're
I'm
talking about
it.
A 23-year-old dude.
Mm-hmm.
But you're always going to have question marks because, number one, he doesn't have a bunch of post moves. Number two, he's got to bulk up, and then you worry about how he deals with bulking up. Is he a player that's going to start having knee issues the second you start adding weight to him, right? So you're not convinced that he's going to be 100% durable forever. He did play 82 games in his rookie season, but then, you know, he broke the part of his hip this year in the bad fall. You just need him to stand up, and the problem that I see is you can tell that he's not going to have a good game. You see it
Yes.
Like right away. And it's like, oh no, he's overwhelmed. But then he goes back home and he doesn't look overwhelmed and he's really good. Mm. So I think a lot of it is maturity. Mm. And again, we're watching a team that's getting there for the first time because in all honesty, like Shea hasn't been great either. Like he hasn't stood out as like just this awesome MVP caliber player in the finals. It's Jalen Williams and Pascal Siakam who realistically, in my mind, are fighting it out for who's going to be the finals MVP.
Jalen Williams, who was minus 40 last night?
Oh, he was minus 40. Oh, yeah.
Minus 40?
Yeah.
In an NBA finals game.
But he's been so good outside
Shea's been
of that
pretty
game.
Good, man.
But pretty good isn't great.
38, 34, 24, 35, 31, 21.
Yeah.
It's not like he's been bad. I'm trying to get his per. He's 30 and a half, 4.5 boards, 4.5 assists, 2 steals and a block and a half a game in the finals.
Oh, no, he's good.
That's going to get you a finals MVP if they win. If they win. But I think you're right about the Pacers. I think it's Siakam.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Williams has been big, too.
I'm just so fired up that, yeah, especially defensively. I'm just so fired up this got to 7 games.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was very, very open going into the series. Like, man, I think Oklahoma City might just steamroll these guys. And I picked Oklahoma City in 4.
Oh, my,
and then that was
my 6th loss last night.
Yeah, RIP. RIP. It had a good run.
Yep.
But, yeah, man, I said after game 5, this feels like if you remove the names and faces from the teams, this feels like Oklahoma City would win in 6 or should be the team that wins in 6. They come back in game 4 to keep it from going down 3-1. Then they come back and they for the most part dominate game 5.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much start to finish dominated that game. Okay, they figured it out. They'll win in 6. But you can't do that because the Pacers are capable of this. They're capable of holding Oklahoma City to 91 points. And they're capable of getting up 30 on any team in the league.
Yeah.
And so all this consternation, all this hand-wringing about, oh, this is going to be so bad for the NBA. Two small market teams. Won't people think about the ratings? We talked about this before the series. The TV ratings for one series are not going to derail the NBA's next TV contract.
Oh, no. And they already have the next TV contract.
Right. The NBA is doing fine.
Yeah.
What this has shown to me is even if you're not, because there are diehard basketball fans who are going, I think we've got a lot of them here in Sacramento, who are going to go, I'm watching the finals no matter who's in it.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the Pacers and the Thunder, and I'm locking into every game of the finals. But I think there's a lot of people who, if there's no Lakers, if there's no Knicks, if there's no Steph Curry, if there's no Boston Celtics, they're just like, yeah, we're out.
Like, yeah, you can lose the casuals for sure. But
this to me, so you can talk about this being bad for the NBA. Two small market teams going to 7 games and being very equal and being very good. Because this is not, oh, wow, what a rock fight. What a god-awful series that has just gone 7. Everybody has wanted 7 games since the first game ended.
Yeah.
Like, can we get this to 7? Oh, my God. And last night was really the only game where you went, oh, I'm turning this off at half. The Thunder don't have it tonight. The Thunder played that game like they celebrated a championship after game 5.
Oh.
They were sluggish. They looked like they were lazy on defensively. They were lazy with the basketball. They did not look like a team that felt the urgency of, hey, we can win the finals tonight, which was kind of nuts to me.
Yeah, it's almost like, let's get it back home so we can win in front of our home crowd. Yeah.
Right, that's super what it looked like.
Yeah, the ball was hopping, though. That's what when Indiana is flowing, like their offense is just so exhilarating. It's so fun to watch. Like the ball is moving all over the place. There was a play where, Ty flips the ball to the corner, cuts to the basket. They hit him right back, lays it up. And, like, they're just playing superb offensive basketball right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a great offense, like very most of the time, will beat a great defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to have to see how it plays out in game 7. But, like, I don't even understand why people are talking about ratings anymore at all. This is like
it doesn't
spectacular basketball.
It has been incredible.
Yeah.
And the fact that it took till game 6 to get the snoozer game.
Yeah.
Because even the game, even game five, which the Thunder won by 11, Indiana got it to 2 in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You had to watch. You had to stay locked in. So this to me has shown that, okay, it's two small markets. Are small markets ever going to be a ratings bonanza without a LeBron James or Steph Curry on their team? No. No, probably not. But what this does show is, hey, the small market thing is not an excuse.
Nope.
There are ways to build a winner and a really damn good one with a small market. And this is why with the Kings and kind of the offseason conversations we've had, you can do it with the right trades. That's what Oklahoma City did.
Mm-hmm.
They did this thing with the right trades. They did this thing with really savvy drafting. They did this thing with player development. So yeah, you can't do it the way of, and frankly, I don't think that this is a way to build a winner anymore. It's just going, all right, we're going to sign Kevin Durant, we're going to sign Kyrie Irving, and then we're going to figure it out. Like that's not going to work anymore.
No, it's what the Knicks did. The Knicks brought in 2 frontline starters,
mm-hmm.
added them to their other 3 frontline starters, and gutted their bench to do it.
Mm-hmm. And you saw them run out of gas against Indiana.
They absolutely got beat by a team that's just flat out deeper.
Mm-hmm.
A team that has more options offensively that just figured out ways to beat them time and time again, whether it was close, whether it was a blowout. Like, it didn't matter. Like, they didn't have the depth
yep.
to compete.
Yep.
And that's why I think this final is so cool, because we're watching 2 of the deepest teams in the league,
yep.
but the depth is so different. It's the offensive depth of Indiana versus the defensive depth of OKC,
mm-hmm.
and the offensive depth is winning out at this point.
And they did it the same way. Good drafting, yeah. savvy trading, player development. That's how teams yep. need to be built now. And I think it's part of the reason that the Suns are having such a hard time trading Kevin Durant, which we'll talk about next. We got plenty of Kings offseason stuff. We have a new draft prospect of the day. I've got a trade idea that I don't even know if I like the player for the Kings, but it's been bandied about, so we'll talk all about right. that. And we've got more NBA Finals and stuff coming up. On the Insiders, we're hanging out with you till noon. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, and that is Sacramento Sports Leader.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
No Joe Brazil today, so I'm still trying to remember how to run all this by myself.
All right.
It's fine.
I'm here for moral support.
Yeah, thank you. No, yeah, we got the recording started a little late, but not before anyone said anything.
Okay.
So we're good. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. We're kicking it old school today. No call screener. We're just going to pick it up. We can only have one line open at a time.
Mm.
Or one line on at a time. So if you call and it just rings and rings and rings, it means there's somebody on hold.
Okay.
But I can't put multiple people on hold. So we'd love for you to participate in the program. So no, if you call and we're not answering, it is just ringing.
Mm-hmm.
We're not ignoring you. We just literally can't do anything about it.
I can tell you I'm ignoring you. I'm ignoring all of you.
All right.
I don't know when you're calling, when you're not. I'm just here living my best life.
Very good. That's James. I'm Kyle. We got game 7 in the NBA Finals. But we've also got the NBA draft coming up in less than a week. Wednesday.
So weird.
It's so odd.
Like snuck up and bit us.
The NFL goes Super Bowl, and then there's like a month until free agency.
Mm.
Till the legal negotiating window opens, and then a couple days later, the new league year officially opens. And then a month and a half after that, you got the draft. And then after the draft, you get 2.5 months or so until training camp.
Yeah, it's forever.
In the NBA, the finals end, and then it's like, buckle up, we got the draft. Oh, hey, the draft just happened. While you sort through that, free agency just started.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, during the finals, there's trades.
Oh, yeah.
Holy smokes, man. Can you imagine at like halftime of the Super Bowl, the 49ers just traded Deebo Samuel?
Well, my other thought is it possible that you could you literally could win an NBA championship that goes to game seven like this one and not even make it to the parade before you get traded? Because it's like it happens right there. It's like, boom, hey, things are happening.
Yeah, if the Pacers, I'm just going to pick, not that they would do this, but if the Pacers are going to just trade Tyrese Haliburton, again, they wouldn't, but can you imagine? I don't know why I could have just said like Benedict Mathurin. So they trade Benedict Mathurin, and he's just in a trade on Monday, and the parade is Tuesday. That'd be weird.
That would be weird.
That'd be a weird vibe. I think you would hold off, right? If you're the Pacers GM, you're just not doing any trades, or you're saying, hey, I got a parade on Tuesday. Can I call you Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the move.
I think so. Hey, let's wait to announce.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good, but let's wait to announce.
Yeah.
Like, we'll send him his ring.
Yeah, we got a kind of a thing.
It's funny. Brett Huff brings up that that baseball drafts during the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, hey.
A little bit different scenario because there's minor leagues.
Uh-huh.
But, man, can you imagine just mid-season drafting this guy and, hey, he's just on your roster now?
Yeah, because it's like Nick Kurtz comes up and they're like, hey, he was playing college. He just drafted 9 months ago. It's like 9 months. That's not even a full year.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he was playing like college baseball and then gets drafted and then or got drafted while he was playing college baseball. And then here he is in the bigs.
He's just on the team now. Hitting walk-off home runs every night.
Like every night.
That was a tank. He hit the ball when he connects, when Nick Kurtz connects with a baseball. It looks different than Yoenis Cespedes, but it feels very similar. Where every home run feels like, oh, that might set a record. That might go 600 feet. Every single time he hits a ball over the fence, it feels like that.
Yeah, his walk off earlier in the week went like 427 feet to left to right center. I mean, just absolutely crushed.
A bomb.
Really, when I watch him swing, he just reminds me so much of Adam Dunn.
Yeah,
just a gigantic left-handed, you know, bopper.
Yeah. And looks like he could be like he swings a baseball bat, right? But looks like he could be swinging like a tree stump.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Just a hoss. Yeah. Hit another walk off last night. My favorite thing about the walk off. So he had the first walk off earlier in the week, where he hits the home run and then flips the bat towards the dugout and yells something towards the dugout, the A's dugout on the third base side before going down. Great way to pimp your walk off home run. I'm a big home run pimping guy, by the way. All about it. I want a show. Like put on a theatrical performance. The one he did last night where he hits it and just kind of drops the bat like, I don't need this anymore. Like, F this game. We're done here, guys. to heck with this bat. To heck with this bat, that pitcher for even throwing that pitch. I'm sick of this. Oh, it's incredible.
That dude's I'm telling you, he's going to hit 50 home runs in multiple seasons.
Okay.
I'm just all calling right. it now.
Okay.
He's got 9 home runs and 135 at-bats. And he didn't hit a home run for like his first, I don't know, 60 at-bats.
Yeah, it took
him
a minute, yeah.
Yeah, he's crushing.
Yeah, he's on a roll right now, for sure. The one thing that gives me pause is Tyler Soderstrom.
Okay.
Who had 6 home runs in 4 games or whatever it was, and then just...
He had 9. Well, no, he's at 14. The problem is, the second they put him in left field, he can't hit home runs anymore when he goes back to first base.
Mm.
I think he's got 13 of his 14 home runs are while he's playing first base.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah. So Kurtz got hurt. Soderstrom started hitting home runs again. Kurtz came back.
One of those two guys is going to hit. One can live while the other survives or whatever the Harry Potter thing is. All right. The NBA draft. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're doing a draft prospect of the day, or two, or three, depending on how we're feeling. Leading up to Wednesday's NBA draft, our draft prospect of the day on Wednesday was Tyrese Proctor, the shooting guard from Duke.
Yep.
The combo guard from Duke.
And we're talking for the 42nd pick with Proctor.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe we'll, depending on how the rumor mill goes, we're staying out of the 20s for now, because until the Kings pick there, or until there's real traction that they're going to pick there, I think we should stay away from it.
But that's the guy I chose today.
You chose a 20 guy?
Yes.
All right, fine. We're not staying away from it. To hell with me. my ideas. Okay, so I'll do this. I'll do the second round guys. You can do the early 20s guys.
Okay, the what if picks.
The what if picks.
Yeah, because I think there is a very, very like growing sense that the Sacramento Kings will find a way to move into the first round.
Okay.
And that pick should be around 20-ish.
Sure.
And for what I know, like most of the other picks are like there's not a lot of available picks in the late.
I tried really, really hard today to get the Jazz to send the Kings the 21st overall pick.
Mm.
And there's just nothing that really works.
No.
We tried.
Unless they're like fully in love with a player, like a young player on your roster.
I guess.
Yeah, I just don't see it.
Yeah,
I don't
me
see
neither.
It.
All right. So this is if the Kings trade into the early 20s, mm-hmm. which the, according to Jake Fisher, they're telling agents that they plan on picking in the early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Who is our insider draft prospect of the day?
Okay, so I think it's interesting. The last couple of years, we've had to focus on nothing but like juniors and seniors, 22, 23, 24-year-old guys, because that is exactly who Monty and Wes always selected. Again, the entire time they were here, the only player they took that was under 20 was
Jamias Ramsey.
Yeah, Jamias Ramsey. So I'm gonna go a little bit outside the box with this one.
Great,
Rashier Fleming out of St. Joseph's. He's slated right now on Tankathon to go number 20.
Okay.
We're talking 6'9" with a 7'5" wingspan. He's 200.
That is a big dude.
He's a big dude. He's 230 pounds. And his draft age, he's 20.95. So, like, pretty young dude.
Mm-hmm.
Average 14.7 points, 8.5 rebounds, 1.5 blocks, 1.4 steals. He's got good hands. I watched him, watching clips of him. You know, he's able to, like, literally just steal the ball from people, like, in space.
Mm-hmm.
He moves well in space.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a huge vert, like, 32.5-inch vert, but... some of the things about him that I really like, he shot 39% from three on 4.5 attempts per game. The shot blocking, I'm surprised his number isn't much higher at the college level because he has great timing and a natural knack for shot blocking.
Mm-hmm.
You're either a shot blocker or you're not.
That's it.
I mean, it doesn't matter. You're playing pickup.
That's it.
Like if you're not a shot, it doesn't matter how tall the guy is. If he's not a shot blocker, he's
nope.
not blocking anything.
Nope.
But you can get, you know, guys that are like 5'8 who block you mm-hmm. all the time, like a pickup game.
Mm-hmm.
For me, he looks like he's got like the block gene that he can go out there and and actually hold his own as like a weak side shot blocker, even like a true rim protector. And I think he's a guy that could play alongside Domas. So
yeah,
he's someone that just kind of like I watched a lot of clips of him. Again, he plays in the dunker spot. And then he's able to fly out to the corner, and he's very proficient hitting the three from the corner. He's got a little off the dribble game,
mm-hmm.
But nothing that I would say, oh, we're going to like, he's going to be a 20-point per game guy.
Yeah.
But you're talking about a, you know, a mid first round pick. You're hoping that he makes it in the league. And this kid, he just has a lot of tools.
Yeah, he does all of the little, or in college, I should say.
Uh-huh.
You know, all the little things that just make sense for a power forward, potential small ball five for the Kings.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a couple encouraging things for me with him when you start digging into these numbers a little bit. He shot 39% from three this year in 35 games. That was up from 32.4 last year, despite also ticking his volume up.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a freshman, he shot sub 30%, 29.7 on 2.4 attempts. The next year, he ticked up to three attempts a game, and his three-point percentage jumped to 32.4. This year, 4.5 attempts a game, up to 39%. 43.5% in conference play.
Oh, okay.
From beyond the arc.
So this, we're talking about Rashier Fleming.
Yes.
From St. Joseph's. Yeah.
And then his free throw percentage, too. He doesn't shoot a ton of free throws, but 69% year one, 61.2 year two, but then up to 74.3% last year.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start looking at those shooting numbers and you see the improvement there, it gives me some optimism that he could be a stretch four, stretch five, who can survive on the perimeter, not only offensively, but defensively as well.
Mm-hmm.
But also with that shot blocking instinct that you talk about, that shot blocking gene that you talk about, where if he does have to kind of roam a little bit, you feel okay with him doing that and having those kind of natural instincts to get up and at least affect shots at the rim.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're looking at a player who's a little under 6'10", but has a 7'5" and a quarter wingspan,
yeah,
like he is built to block shots, right? Mm-hmm. And to be a defensive player. Now, the thing that I like about him is watching him, like the vert isn't all that impressive. Like,
no, he doesn't play above the rim.
Yeah, plays above rim, but it's all about his arm length, right?
Sure,
about his standing reach. So. But what I like about when I watch him play is you can see a little bit of the Nemias Keita thing, where he's going to have to get stronger in his core in order to be a more efficient shot blocker, to be a better a better rebounder and all that stuff. But that's what the leap
just
from the college game. No, it's just that he's dragging his body a little bit. And that's something that, again, the Kings worked really hard on Nemias Keita. When he showed up, like, he did not look like a true, outside of the fact that he's gigantic, but a true pro prospect. He, even his, like, when he walked, you're like, okay, I don't know that I buy this at all. But that's what, you know, again, being a professional, you take the leap, and they have trainers working with you all day, and they will identify the weaknesses in your body and work to strengthen those. And if you can become, like, again, the core strength gets stronger, he'll be just a much better athlete, which is, again, what we've seen from Keegan Murray. The
Kings
medical staff has done a tremendous job of developing the physicality of players, like changing their bodies. And so I would think that a player like this, little bits of, like, notes of Naz Reid. Like, you can see Naz Reid a little bit as a player, and again, a Zeke Nnaji player. We're talking about stretch fours in the league. But you hope that he develops and, you know, even maybe a little bit, a better built Jalen Smith, like something like that.
I'm in on it. Because the draft, particularly when you start getting into the 20s, is even more of a crapshoot than the first 19 picks, right? So the thing that jumps out to me with Rashear Fleming is our draft prospect of the day. He went to St. Joe's, spent 3 seasons there. He does things that the Kings just don't have on their roster. And if you're going to be drafting players, whether you're doing so in the 20s or the 40s or the 50s or 60, you have to be adding players who do things who aren't redundant, at least not right now, at least not the way I view this, where, okay, here's a guy who does profile as more of a rim protector, who does profile as a stretch four, right? Okay, where there's going to be real development and real opportunities for him to have an impact. Drafting another guard doesn't do anything for me. At least not without moving a couple of the guards you already have. Or drafting a center who he doesn't really block shots, but he's a decent passer. Like, if I'm drafting a big, I need him to be different than Domantas Sabonis and Jonas Valanciunas in some way. And you'd love for every big to be an awesome passer. You'd love for every big to be a dynamite screener, whatever it is. But I think if you're finding a player who's going to give you a block and a half a night, who's going to pull down some rebounds and who can reliably hit a corner three, you don't have anyone who does that on the team currently.
Well, that, and I'm just going to point out that, like, Trey Lyles, there's a good chance he won't be back.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
The Kings don't have a natural big body four.
Right.
And this is a big body four. This he's a big dude. I mean, when you're looking at 6'10", 230, that's a big man. And, you know, you can refine who he is and what his body looks like.
Yeah.
But he still has the body to start with that you can mold. And that's where I look at him like, all right, he might be a five down the road. But for right now, the opportunity to bounce him back and forth between the four and the five, have him be a small ball five down the road, Like it just makes a lot of sense.
The thing I'm really interested to see, and this might be too big picture for right now, but if they do, let's just say they draft Rashear Fleming. Mm-hmm. Is he going to get the runway to play? Because we saw that with Isaac Jones last year, right? Isaac Jones looked like a player who, hey man, let's get this guy some run and kind of see, and he didn't really get any burn down the stretch.
Yeah.
So anybody they do draft, is that a player who they're going to let be in the rotation? And are they going to be okay with, hey, you know what, maybe you're going to get some bad minutes, but in service of better minutes over the next, mm-hmm. you know, into March and April and into the following season? I'm very intrigued to know how they're viewing draft picks this year in terms of where they fit in their rotation.
Yeah.
Like, are they taking Rashear Fleming and going, hey, spend the season in Stockton? Or are they taking him with the notion that he's going to play next to Domas, he's going to play next to Keegan? He's going to get into some pick and roll situations with Malik Monk. We're going to see how that works.
Yeah,
that's what I'm interested to know.
Either way, they need young players. They need to get younger, mm-hmm. and they need to have at least one or two prospects that are coming through the system.
Yep, that's it. Don, I see you on the line on the Elk Grove Kia Talk line at 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. We'll get to your calls next. And I've got a trade idea for the Kings, but I'm not sure I like it. And we'll talk about that player next. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and this is ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Get into hockey, basketball, and more of your favorite sports with same-game parlays, live betting, and more. BetMGM. Make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards payback and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Sure as heck is. That's James. I'm Kyle. So I saw a thing the other day where... Well, I saw a couple things the other day. We were talking about Rashear Fleming for our draft prospect of the day if the Kings trade into the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about Ace Bailey.
Yeah, it's strange.
It's a weird thing going on with Ace Bailey, and we'll discuss that. But before that, we got to get out to the Elk Grove Kia Talk line. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Our guy Don is on the line. What's up, Don?
What's up, Kyle?
Chilling, man. What do you got?
This is Joe from Elk Grove.
Ah, Joe,
of course
from Elk
it is.
What's up, Joe?
It is.
And I got some rumors to clear up for Mr. Hamm over there.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead. Good.
Are you ready, Mr. Hamm?
I'm ready.
King, I'm also ready.
This guy that said the Kings were trading in the first round is not happening. They feel after the fifth pick, sixth through all the way down, is either second rounders or all those players could be bust in the NBA.
Oh.
Unless somebody intrigues them to jump into the top five, they won't do it. Second of all, the rumors about the Kings and DeMar DeRozan having talks with the Miami Heat, mm-hmm. another lie. The Kings have had no discussions with the Miami Heat about DeMar DeRozan.
Hmm. Interesting. Hey, Frank, what are we drinking today?
I ain't drinking nothing. Okay. And the other thing is...
Oh, we're still going. Okay.
The Raptors want Malik Monk, but the Kings are not offering Malik Monk up.
Awesome. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate the call. All right.
Joe and Elk Grove.
There it is.
All right.
Aggregators, go get it.
Yep. There we go.
I do think the Malik Monk thing is kind of interesting. Well, like, if the Raptors are coveting Malik Monk, then sure, man. Want to give picks and a good young player? Sure.
Yeah, like, look.
I don't think you try to give away Malik, but if they want him.
No, but the Raptors and Kings very well could. I mean, you have to look at all the ties, right, around the league. So if the Kings made a deal with New Orleans, that wouldn't be shocking because you've got this really close relationship between Joe Dumars and Scott Perry. If the Kings were going to make a trade with Toronto, it wouldn't surprise me. They literally have, like, two players that Scott Perry drafted that have developed into very, very good pro players, and Emmanuel Quickly and R.J. Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I could see the Kings and Raptors having conversations. And, like, there's all kinds of smoke right now.
Yeah.
But whether something materializes or not, I don't know.
It's also lying season.
It is lying season. Yes, it's very much so lying season. And misdirection season.
Yeah. You know,
that's what.
And a little bit of truth, but not the whole truth season.
Yeah. 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 There's all kinds of things happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I, at the end of the day, like, look, I don't expect DeMar DeRozan to be on this team at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Whether Joe from Elk Grove has heard otherwise or other people have heard otherwise, that's not what I've heard about conversations between the Heat and the Kings.
Interesting. Dueling rumors from our Sacramento Kings reporter and some guy named Frank who says his name is Joe, who we call Don here on the Insiders. the Elk Grove Kia Talk Lines, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's up? Hey, go ahead, Don.
Hello?
Yes, hi. Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, man. Hey, man, this is E-Biz right here, bro.
Oh, my bad,
E-Biz. Like, who's Don?
That's you today. What's up?
Yeah. All right, here, so check it out, man. This is a serious question, all right? If the Pacers are to win, so just let me get this all out. So okay. If the Pacers are to win, is that going to be a bigger upset than the Warriors 73-9? Because, yes, Curry was a two-time MVP, but they were going against, and they were up 3-1, but they were going against a team of two Hall of Famers for sure, and one of the Hall of Famers is LeBron James, one of the best players ever. I would like to hear what you guys have to say. So once again, if OKC loses to Pacers, on top of that, because Pacers is a lower seed, is that a bigger upset than your 73-9 Warriors? So I just want to hear you guys out. I just want to ask that.
All right. Thanks for the call, E-Biz. Appreciate you.
All right.
Oh, that's a great question. No, I don't think it would be a bigger upset than Cleveland coming back. Because, look, even before Cleveland went down 3-1, Golden State was supposed to win that series. They'd won the year before. They won 73 freaking games.
Mm-hmm.
I understand they had LeBron James. They had Kyrie Irving. They had Kevin Love. I would imagine all three of them. Certainly Kyrie and LeBron, and I imagine Kevin Love is going to the Hall of Fame too. But that Golden State team not only won 73 games, but went up 3-1 in pretty dominant fashion in that series. So for me, I think the Cavs beating Golden State in 2016 would be the bigger upset. But I don't think the perception of the Pacers will... I think the perception of the Pacers was wrong. I think the Pacers are better than we thought going into the series,
mm-hmm.
which to me would make this less like, oh, wow, an upset, and more, oh, we needed to recalibrate what we thought of Indiana.
Well, that...
Did that make sense? I feel like that...
Yeah,
I
think a little bit. I think one of my biggest issues with OKC is that they're just so young, and this is the first time they've been here doing this.
Right.
You know, we're seeing, you know, again, like your idea of, oh, you might want to consider trading Chet. I would rather see what Chet looks like in his second time mm-hmm. in the finals. Now,
if
it becomes a trend mm-hmm. where that's who he is, then you got a bigger problem, and you need to start looking at different options. But for me, like, I think that we probably underestimated just the youth of the Thunder. And so when you're watching them like on the biggest stage, mm-hmm. they're having too many moments where they look their age.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate, but mm-hmm. there are also moments where they just run people over. Mm-hmm. And again, you see their youth, but it's in a different way. And so I want to see how it all plays out in the end, but I definitely think that this is a fun series. The series that you're talking about, the 2016 series, though, like that was two like Hall of Fame riddled teams battling it out.
Yeah.
We don't know about these two teams. Like Pascal Siakam is making his case to be a Hall of Fame player,
mm-hmm.
going, you yeah. know, trying to become a two-time champion.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tyrese Haliburton is like making his early case. And Shea is making his early case, but we have no idea what Jalen Williams is going to be. We have no idea what Chet is going to be. That's where, like, the turnover here, that's where we're talking about, like, where the league is going from this group of stars that we relied on for, you know, 15 years, and most of them are aging out of the league. Mm-hmm. Even if they are still playing, they're still aging out of out of contention.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just seeing the fresh new look, but, like, I think youth is playing a huge role in this, and, you know, we watched Houston flame out so early in the playoffs. Houston was the number two seed.
Sure.
Like, youth matters in the playoffs.
It does.
Yeah.
But I think for me, this is more in this series going seven, and if Indiana wins it, it will be an upset to be sure. Like, I don't want that to
Oh, totally.
It definitely is. But I think it would be more when the Cavs beat the 73-win Warriors in 2016. The takeaway for me was, Golden State fell apart. Golden State choked that away. They were up 3-1 in that series. They were dominating in that series. I remember there's a shot in game four where Steph like curls off a screen and he gets open for three. And LeBron, as Steph is shooting, like throws his hands up in the air, like, what do we do here? And they go up there, and then the Cavs win the next three. That to me was about Golden State collapsing. And the Cavs made their plays out. The block by James and the three from Kyrie is one of the biggest shots, maybe the biggest shot in NBA history. Like, the Cavs had to do this stuff to win. But that was more about, what are the things Golden State didn't do? This series, the Thunder and the Pacers,
mm-hmm.
is more about, the Pacers are way better than I thought they were.
Yeah.
This is not Oklahoma City collapsing and falling over themselves. It's a little bit of that. Like you said, a little bit the youth shows up. But I think you see that from Indiana as well. Like, it isn't like Indiana's got a bunch of guys who have played in the finals before. Siakam has. But it's not like Indiana's like got a ton of dudes who have been around and playing big minutes in the finals.
No. But they do have players who have been in the league for a long time.
Yeah. Sure.
You know,
sure.
Like, whether it's, you know, Miles Turner or TJ McConnell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, these guys have been in the league for a long time.
Yeah. But I think it's an upset, but it also involves a recalibration of how good the Pacers are. In our minds, whereas the Cavs, like, dude, they were the worst team, top mm-hmm. to bottom. I forget each team's quote unquote big three. The Warriors' depth that year was just better than Cleveland's, or at least it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And they were up 3-1 in that series and fell apart. Like, that's gonna go. They won 73 games. They lost 9 games all year and then lost 4 games in one series.
I covered all of those games. All the home games,
yeah,
for NBC,
yeah,
it was wild to be there while that thing spun out.
I remember there was a timeout. I think I've told this before, but there was a timeout because I was in Arizona. I'm watching by myself. I tried to go out and watch in public, but everybody's rooting against Golden State.
Oh,
it was not a fun time as they're getting smoked in Game 5 and getting beat in Game 6. So I was like, I gotta watch Game 7 at home. I'm watching at home by myself, and they went to a timeout late in the fourth quarter. While it was either tied or still a one possession game. And I remember just taking a deep breath and being like, this is peak sports. Like, it doesn't get, this is why we enjoy sports happening, mm-hmm. is for a one possession game with a couple minutes left in a game 7. And it was just exhilarating.
Yeah.
Really, really awesome hoops. And I think we're going to get more awesome hoops in this game 7 coming up on Sunday?
Sunday. Man, you hope so. Sunday. You hope so. You hope it's just a knockdown, drag out battle and not just like a lopsided one team shows up and one doesn't.
I think it's going to be. We can talk about why. TC, I see on the line. Well, I think that's TC, if I remember the caller ID correctly. I see on the line. We will get to you on the Elk Grove Kia Talk line next. I got to get to the player that I've created a trade for that I'm not sure I want the Kings to have. And I want to talk more about the NBA Finals. We got all that coming up in the second hour. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube is the sponsor. We're the insiders on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.